Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Will Sam and Sam in the Morning, opening up with some Here We Go Steelers. Just in honor of Will Camilleri, who's rolling in right on time. The man had to park in Wheatley, ladies and gentlemen. That's rough.
For those, of you who don't know, Wheatley is very, very far away from the radio room.
He's in full Phillies gear, ladies and gentlemen. As we play Here We Go Steelers, this song's for you. Steelers, here we go.
It's baseball season. Why are you playing football music?
No, I need a Pittsburgh song. Because you weren't here.
He's ready to score.
Here we go. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I'm Sam Anthony. Alongside me is Samuel Elizabeth Ferentz and William Robert Camilleri in full Phillies gear. He's Team Harper right now.
I really am.
He sits up at night and he prays to the Harper gods that Bryce Harper will sign with the Philadelphia
Eagles.
We
need Matt Klintak to pull some spicy moves over there in Philadelphia. He's the GM of the Phillies.
Some spicy moves.
Okay. Yes.
See, they have a GM that actually is allowed to make moves.
Yeah.
What's that like? Actually, I'm a Red Sox fan, too, so I know what that's like.
What is interesting is the Pirates have around about the same amount of money, or quote-unquote stupid money, as the Phillies do, yet they haven't put any interest into any big-name free agents.
Well, yeah, it's because it all goes back into Seven Springs. You ever been to Seven Springs?
No.
Nice. Yeah.
I've never been skiing.
Seven Springs is the Bryce Harper of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Wow.
Yeah. And then collectively, Pirates fans just shed a tear. Well, yeah. All right. So you know what? We're on the topic. Do we want to talk about, you know, going in? We got spring training on the horizon. Will and I just bought our spring training tickets to go in
so
spring
great.
Break. Sam Ferentz, are you going anywhere for spring break, Sam Ferentz? Or are you just delivering for Panera Bread?
Yeah, I'm probably just delivering for Panera Bread.
Literally, here's the thing. So Sam Ferentz was telling me we might need to like move the time of the show or something because he's going to start delivering for Panera Bread at 10.
Wow.
But what if we just have the show and we have him deliver the Panera Bread here?
That would be pretty.
And he has
and
like
he
a little like 10-minute segment of Sam Ferentz.
That would be awesome. Unfortunately, Panera Bread does not deliver to RMU's campus.
What?
Panera Sam. What the heck?
Why? I feel like that's a wasted opportunity.
But that's why they're building the Panera. Why? On University Boulevard.
Wait, they are building one?
Yeah.
Where?
Right. You don't see the construction? You know, before you turn left?
I don't drive on University Boulevard. I always come the back way.
Oh. Well, it's at the very end of University Boulevard. It's by like Selma's and stuff and right past the sheets.
Oh, okay.
And by Arby's and all that.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, of course they build all the cool things after we graduate at the UPMC Event Center. I'm so bitter.
Hey, but we get to be the first event in it, so.
You know what? I don't care. I'd rather see the first basketball game.
I mean, like, can we like throw a rager after our graduation and just continue it on?
There already is.
No.
Evanescence.
Yeah. Just like all night
long. No, we party
until
Evanescence starts.
Oh,
the next
yes.
day.
Yes.
And
I
then
agree.
They're like, "You can't make us leave." I'm in. I'm so
sit
sold.
Sit in at the event.
Destroy
center.
The people's court.
Because we are the people's court.
Long live Sewell.
Man, talk about, you know, you want the school in more debt, cause damages on the first day of the opening of the
That's
UPMC
true.
Event Center. Hey, I'm just saying, I'm just going to try and take a floorboard with me and leave. I'll be like, just lift it. Hey, we got a tour outside. I love, you know what? I love seeing a tour outside because they, you know, they're just chilling. They'll wave at you. I like to wave back. I love when I know whoever's giving the tour because I like to be obnoxious.
But now, I don't think we're broadcasting out there.
Huh? We are not because, I can set us for live. I keep forgetting to do that.
Yeah.
But they're leaving. I'm still going to set us for live. Actually, I don't know how to do it on this. It's a new program.
Really?
They finally figured out how the old program works, I think. And that's beyond me. I know how to use the switchboard here, and I know how to use the computer, which is pretty good. I'm pretty proud of myself. But I love, you know what I love about this whole radio setup is the fact that there has to be a big thing on here that says, do not touch knobs, because when things aren't working, they just start turning knobs until it works. Which, by the way, when you don't turn the knobs back to where they were, that actually messes things up.
Yes.
But, you know, again, hey, we do have a 92% acceptance rate, so there are going to be people that slip through the cracks. I'm just saying. Am I wrong?
No. Let's get back to baseball.
I wanted to make fun of the rest of our student body.
Stop bashing Robert Morris. I mean, we still have a couple months left.
I can bash Robert Morris if I want to.
Sam says why.
I'm just saying, man. It's all falling apart. We're losing it all.
It's so. Okay. But we're leaving, so.
Exactly. Yeah. We can watch it. You know, like, Oompa. When you see, like, old stadiums blow up, like they show on ESPN? That we can watch that. We'll be like, ooh.
I honestly thought, like, I knew it wasn't going to be like that, but there was a small piece of me that was like, maybe that's what they're going to do with Sewell.
Oh, I just meant the university
that,
as a whole.
I know, but that would have been pretty awesome.
Oh, that would have been so cool.
I think it was too small, though. And it was, oh, wait, no, they didn't. It's not a new building. It's a renovation.
I would
that
have
in
loved
air quotes.
To make a video, and I'm going to have to censor myself here, where I'm standing in front of it, and I'm going, I'm Sam Anthony, and you're watching Jack Blank, and have it all explode behind me. That's all I want in life. That would have been on my Instagram. That would have been on Twitter. The whole world would have known, man. But yeah. All right. So let's go back to baseball.
Let's go back to baseball. Baseball's back. Okay.
All right. So here's the thing. So I was reading this whole thing on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Actually, not the Pittsburgh Pirates. Major League Baseball as a whole. It was like top storylines going in and like the level of excitement.
Uh-huh.
Guess who had the level of excitement of negative 1 million?
The Pirates.
No.
The Phillies.
Pirates had a 1. Phillies had a 4. They weren't at a 5 because, quote unquote, if they don't get Bryce Harper, that fan base will never forgive them.
What's the range? Is it?
It's 1 to 5.
Oh, okay.
Negative, it's 0 to 5.
Negative a million?
Yeah, it was negative a million. Because, you know, you have the Marlins who have basically traded away all of their
stars.
Wait,
what team? Is it the Marlins?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Mm.
I thought we were playing a guessing game. And he just came out with the answer.
I know. I blew it. Yeah. Boo. Miami Marlins, negative 1 million. But you could see why. Because, you know.
They've lost everybody.
But Derek Jeter apparently wants to win now. It must be tough going from the Yankees where, you know, you had all the money in the world.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, Derek Jeter. Like, you got to be excited as a Marlins fan because you got to know that Derek Jeter's competitive. And when they're good, he'll have the money to spend to put into it. Unlike Pirates fans who know that despite having the money, they still will not spend the money because they're a team that invests in their young talent and then after 3 years trades them away because they can't afford them anymore.
which is not true because they can afford them because they have a ton of money.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to say that there's like a solution for that. I'll tell you what's really fun. I've never been to Pirates Fest, but I hear stories every year of basically just Yinzers coming up and being like, basically, it's just all of them complaining about how Nutting doesn't spend money. And guess who wasn't there to answer questions?
Robert Nutting?
Yep.
Nice.
he just wasn't there.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, this really makes it worse that Bob Nutting isn't here.
Yeah.
He just, but you know what? He's smart enough to know that the fan base is just going to be mad. So why fight it?
I mean, if he's smart enough to know that it's going to happen, why not just, I don't know,
fix it?
Spend the money?
Oh, no. Here's the Nutting family philosophy, too. So not only is he not going to spend money, but... when the Nuttings buy something, they own it forever. That's the Nutting family motto.
Unless it's Garrett Cole.
Unless it's people. They don't care about people.
No, they don't.
They care about entities and money. Yeah, I mean, you would have thought that the attendance being down 500,000 would be like, wow, maybe this is a bad business. Like, literally what it is it's like buying a product and then not investing in the product. And then expecting it to still make you money.
Yeah. However, they did start a new program where student tickets are $10 for every home game.
I mean, they
needed
to, man. They did, but I'm gonna go.
I'll watch the Pirates lose to some team that I don't care about.
But you know what I'm really heartbroken about and crushed? There are no Dollar Dog Nights this year.
What?
No Dollar.
That's a crime.
That's a crime. Well, come on, I was going to spend $10 on hot dogs and then get beer, too.
Well, you saw the Atlanta Falcons a couple years ago dropped all their prices.
Well, that's what they're talking about the Super Bowl. They were like, this is like the first time that like concessions at the Super Bowl are affordable because it was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Okay, so what's the solution for the Pirates? And I know you're a Phillies fan, but I want like a GM perspective because I know you play your top baseball thing. I mean, do the Pirates have to go out as far and just go out and sign Bryce Harper or something? Is that feasible?
Not anymore, but
it
was. That's what they had to do. They had, I mean, you have to, like Sam was saying, you have to invest money in the thing you bought in order for it to be successful.
Because here's the thing, if the Pirates were good and the Pirates were winning, people would be selling out every game because it's Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh loves They're sports.
Right.
Well, remember when they were good and they had that wild card game against the Reds and it was sold out? Like, literally?
A lot of people still call that one of the greatest sporting environments in baseball history because it was so freaking loud because they had been 22 years without a playoff berth.
Oh, yeah. You got the whole stadium chanting Cueto and
a winner-take-all game.
Johnny Boy stepping off the mound. I mean, how can't that be a good time?
Man, Pirates used to love wild card games, and then they quickly learned to hate wild card games. Yo, yeah, because they were all like, this was sick. And then they lose two of them, and they're like, this isn't fair.
I mean, yeah, let's go ahead and sign Melky Cabrera.
You know, that's a good one because there's no money really involved in that. And he could end up being just a decent guy you throw in the outfield to fill. Because you know Polanco's going to get hurt, as he always does.
And Marte's going to get suspended for drugs, as he always does.
Hey, you know what? That was a one-time thing. It's not going to happen again.
Is Jung-ho Kong finally able to play?
He's back, but is he going to be a contributor?
I think he was in the minors most of the last season, right?
He was. He didn't really come up until, like, or he didn't really, like, play.
I remember when he was good-ish.
Yeah, it was exciting.
Hey, Sam Anthony, how do you feel about the Pirates signing Lonnie Chisenhall?
Oh, yeah, that too. Like, is that going to be good?
Well, all right. Well, let me give you – you know why Will asked that question? Because, you know, as you know, I'm also an avid Boston Red Sox fan. So me and our friend, you know, our good friend Spencer Wellington, we went to a playoff game actually during President Howard's inauguration.
Yeah, it was.
Now I'm not sad that I missed, by the way. The Red Sox had David Price pitching before David Price could win playoff games. And – we're sitting there, and, you know, the Red Sox are down, but not by a lot. And who comes up to hit a home run? Who we were like, oh, he won't do anything. Lonnie Chisenhall. We're still really bitter about that.
Yes.
We were like, we literally were both sitting there going, oh, we're fine. It's Lonnie Chisenhall off the bat. He's not going to do anything. And then he just crushed a rope. It was awful. But, again, those are kind of the uninspired signings where it's like, great. Like, that's like when the Yankees signed Troy Tulowitzki, it made sense because they had Gleyber Torres, Didi Gregorius, and DJ LeMahieu in front of him.
Yes.
Those are the depth signings you have because they're guys who were good, who could contribute, but shouldn't start on a regular
basis.
Right,
they could contribute every once
in a
while.
But instead,
in
the Pirates, with all this money, were like, wow, we're going to see if Lonnie Chisenhall can just come in and, you know, do some stuff. And
Transform this team.
How about this? You know, let's go sign, like, you know, a big-name player. We got to get something back, you know. And then they go out and sign, like, 40-year-old Francisco Liriano back. I mean, he was a good pitcher.
Another
with
guy
the Pirates.
That you're kind of hoping maybe, oh, we can figure something out and he can be good to get us a couple wins. Here's the thing with the Pirates, all right? So they were, you know, again, did you ever see that 538 article on how they were statistically the most average team in the history of sports?
No, but that doesn't surprise me.
They were literally the most average, like literally straight up middle of the road. They finished 82 and 80, so like pretty much middle of the
road.
Which, like, you know, for a team that didn't expect to do much, and it was an improvement from the year before, like, that's exciting because you're sitting there going, okay, you get a couple good pieces in the offseason, you turn it around. No, they didn't. Now, going off of that, you have some young pitchers. You have guys like Jameson Taillon who could be really good.
Could.
That's the emphasis. So, and then you got guys like Chris Archer, who that was a great trade last year. He didn't pay off during that season, but switching from American League pitching to National League pitching is a big
shift.
Very
different. Mm-hmm.
So, for the Pirates, the big thing for them is really hoping that you got a guy like Archer who figures it out. You got a guy like Taillon who becomes more consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Williams, down the stretch, 8 of his 11 last 11 starts of the season were scoreless starts. He was really good. Again, he's a guy similar to McCullers on the
Astros,
who – it's his breaking ball is good. He's got a really good sinker, so he's going to use that. So the thought here is if the Pirates pitching staff can be all of its potential. But again, that's if everything happens the right way, which, as you know, in baseball, doesn't typically happen all season. It comes in spurts and goes.
Right.
Which is why the Pirates need something on offense, and they really don't have that. I mean, they got Marte, who's great. You have Polanco, who really didn't meet up the expectations. He's a 240, 250 average hitter, which isn't what they wanted him to be. He's a guy who can't field that wall in right field.
Wait, hold on. I have to tell this story.
All right.
This is the very first day I met Sam Anthony for our avid listeners.
Otters program, baby. Let's go. Day, where's Prof Harold and all that? Sam Ferentz was there,
man,
too, though.
I was there.
The day was August 17th, 2015.
Oh, boy.
I was but a wee lad.
We all were. For those of you that don't know, the honors program, the first day that you move in, you get to move in a week before everybody else as a freshman.
Because we were so cool.
And the first day that you're there, you get to do a walking tour of Pittsburgh. You get to kayak or bike. Now, when we went, you had to do both.
I hate biking.
Which was very tiring. And then you go to a Pirates game to cap off all of that after moving in and walking around and exercising all day. You get to go to a Pirates game, which honestly was fun, and it would have been a lot more fun if we all weren't exhausted.
Yeah.
But I was sitting next to Sam Anthony, and
how this beautiful budding friendship started.
A ball was hit into right field, and Sam leans to me and goes, "Watch, it's gonna hit the wall and bounce over his head." I'm like, "No, he's home. It's a home game. He's here half of the season." And what do you know? Off the wall, bounce, and goes over his head.
And then the romance.
And then, like, five innings later, the same thing happened.
Yep.
that's when I knew, ladies and gentlemen, that's when I knew Sam and I would be friends for a long time.
Because we just made fun of the Pirates, even though I'm a Pirates fan. It's so sad.
I think they lost that game, too.
No, they won an extra
innings. Oh, that's right. 4-1 against the Diamondbacks.
Let's go. Let's go, Pirates.
Yeah, I've probably been to – I can count on both of my hands the amount of – baseball games in general I've been to, so I cannot comment on the statistical.
You want to hang out more often? I can talk to you about weighted runs created.
You can spend $10 now and go to a game.
Yeah, I might do that. Poach
Addison.
You want to
go hang out? Can we have a Will, Sam, and Sam at the ballpark episode?
Oh, we definitely should.
We can
we'll just Facebook
on
live
the
it.
Bridge. We can do it on the bridge.
we'll go up into the press box. We'll say, "Hey guys, we're professional radio people, you know."
Yeah, tell me how that goes. All right.
Where's my press badge?
just for a fun fact, I'm digital content manager for RB Century Media. I had a student. He'll remain nameless, but he tried to request press credentials for Penguins playoff games.
Beautiful. Hey, they are a partner.
Robert Morris is. We're separate from the university, so they're.
Oh, that's true.
And they're also like, "Wow, like really? Like, what Pens games have you covered this year? What makes you think you could just go and cover the Penguins Flyers playoff series?" I'm just saying.
Well, I wonder if, like, you know, if we had a Tuesday afternoon game,
that,
like,
would be pretty cool.
Like, they'd let us just because it was like a Tuesday afternoon home game and.
Probably. At least preseason, they always say, for the Penguins you can cover. But you can go cover some spring training, Will.
Oh, yeah. Except the Pirates are farther away, so.
We don't have to do the Pirates. We can be
that's
like.
True.
We can do Phillies. That's Pennsylvania.
To, I forget what the name of the field is, but they're in
Clearwater. Rip Jorge Alfaro, though. I'm going to miss him.
Yeah, El Oso.
But you got Real Muto.
Gone
so.
Forever. Yeah, we have an all-star, so. Yeah. Thank you, Marlins.
Derek Jeter, it's all part of the
Master. Did you see what Madison Baumgartner said?
No.
So he came out. There were like rumors going around that the Giants were going to pitch an opener in front of him for the first game.
Yep.
And he said if he gets to the park and there's a guy that's going to pitch the first two innings or whatever in front of him, he will leave.
Yeah, that doesn't shock me. Madison Bumgarner's a real old-fashioned guy.
I love it. Honestly, I'm not a huge Giants fan. I don't really like Buster Posey, but... I love that he said that because I hate the fact that they're considering openers.
But
I understand,
openers are smarter. Nick,
I understand.
Smarter move.
I understand. I think
the
it's
statistics.
Stupid. I don't care about the
statistics.
It's
all about winning.
From a fan perspective, I hate it.
I love
think
it.
It's
can,
dumb.
Can someone explain that to me then?
Pitchers are becoming like they're less consistent and they're not able to pitch for. At like long periods of time anymore.
Okay. Well,
so
it's
like
not,
you haven't had. I mean, when was the last complete game? Was there even one this past season?
That's not it though. That's not.
That's
it.
Not it.
Yeah, no, there definitely was because someone from the Pirates pitched a complete game.
Well, it's not because of the longevity, because any of those pitchers can pitch for a long time. It's understanding one, arm health. So any pitcher that throws over 100 pitches, you're way more likely to tear your UCL. For them, like it's long term. So again, you got a guy like a Strasburg. You see stuff like that happening to him. That's why you limit those guys. Two, statistically, after you face someone for the third time, the chances of them getting a hit off of that pitcher almost doubles. like averages are way higher. So typically pitchers aren't getting to that third time around, because why would you, when you can just put someone else new in, which is why you're also having an opener. So the idea is when are you most likely, when are the most runs scored in a baseball game?
Middle of the game?
Nope.
Okay.
End, beginning and end.
First inning. The least amount of runs are scored in the end.
Oh, really?
It actually almost goes like perfect, like top to bottom. So the idea is, if that's the most likely time to, you know, that they should score runs, we should have someone in there to, you know, that's literally their job is to make sure that runs aren't scored in the first inning. Now, the problem I have with an opener is what teams are doing is they're putting in like some scrub pitcher to eat innings. When realistically, you should be taking somebody, you know, you should be taking your Aroldis Chapman and pitching
right.
in the first inning.
Well, and that's, I think that's where the whole point of, that's why I think the emphasis, I understand people that understand numbers and analytics and all that stuff will like get what you're saying. But I think most, at least managerial wise, except for like Gabe Kapler, who is the analytics guy, like they are putting in openers because they don't think their pitchers can last seven innings or whatever.
No, I mean, the only reason teams have been putting in openers is the analytic-based manager.
Has anybody done it yet?
The Rays. The Rays did it, and then the Brewers did it in the postseason. The Brewers didn't do it. It didn't work for the Brewers in the postseason because the Brewers didn't put a good pitcher in the first inning.
Why would you try it in the postseason of all time?
Because it's one of those where, like, you got your, you know, your starters are worn down, and you're like, all right, we're going balls to the wall.
Right, okay, like the Philly special. Why would you do the Philly special in the Super
Bowl?
Yeah,
on a two-point conversion, if it didn't work. Yeah,
the Philly special, man.
Well, you can say that now, but if it didn't work, it wouldn't be a thing.
Yeah,
they'd be criticized for the fact that they tried to go for
Nick
it on fourth down.
Nick Foles would be made fun of.
Yes.
So it'd be another why'd you run the ball? Why'd you pass the ball?
Like if.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, and if it had worked for the Brewers, we would have been, everybody would be doing it now.
Yes, everybody would. Again, it's like how the Royals, when they won the World Series, they had the 7-8-9 guys instead of, you know, a setup guy for 7-8 and then a closer for 9. They had a guy for each inning, and then all of a sudden bullpen usage became a bigger thing.
Yes, and so that's when the Phillies really crumbled.
Yes.
They did not have a bullpen.
Well, because the Phillies also didn't believe in analytics till like 3 years ago.
That's true.
Because of Ruben Amaro Jr., worst GM ever.
Also employee of the Boston Red Sox.
Yes.
But
they're World Series champs, so who cares?
Oh, something else. And I mean, this is also goes because I feel like I'm a more traditionalist baseball fan.
Yes. If this conversation has told us anything.
Yeah. The other thing I saw is that from 1987 until today, the average length of a baseball game has increased by only 20 minutes.
Yes.
So I think it is stupid that people are out here trying to reduce the time of the game. If you don't like how long it takes, you don't like baseball.
But that's the issue, is that they need more people to like baseball, because every year the average age of a fan gets older. So yeah, like, I don't have a problem with it, and a traditional baseball fan doesn't have a problem with it, but the thing is that traditional baseball fans are dying out. There's not a lot of people our age that want to sit, because attention spans are smaller.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about that. The birth of social media and the fact that
attention spans have reduced. Stuff,
yeah.
But there's also more options. So why am I sitting watching this three-hour baseball game when in that span I can be doing 30 different things? There's more options.
Because it's a baseball game. Like, in my mind, it's dumb. Because it's like, why would you not want to go to a baseball
game? And I get where
game?
You're coming from. But yeah, I mean, that's just.
But I'm also like, I think the three of us, I mean, Sam, I don't know. You said you haven't been to a lot of baseball games. So
yeah,
I don't
but
know.
I still but, like to go.
Right. Like,
I think
that that's
like
just
social
our.
Construct,
right. I think it fits the three of our personalities, though, where
also,
we can do that.
The Pittsburgh area is different. In the Pennsylvania area, it's different. If you go where I live, back in New Hampshire, baseball's not big. Lacrosse is big because lacrosse is faster. It's more intense.
I mean, lacrosse is somewhat big by me, but that's only in, like, high school.
Yeah. No, literally, like, we had – in high school, we had more kids play lacrosse than we did play baseball.
Yeah. I think we'd have the same amount. I don't really know. Our baseball team was pretty good, though. We were ranked third in the state.
Yeah. I mean, like, we were in New Hampshire. But it's a lot of places around the country, it's not as big of a deal anymore. I'm sure baseball is bigger right now in Boston because the Red Sox just won the World Series.
Right.
'Cause that's what happens, is you get the spikes when that stuff happens. Because look at hockey in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Hockey in Pittsburgh gets big when the Penguins win. And then when they don't win, it goes away.
It really goes away.
Yes, because Pittsburgh – the Penguins will rise and fall as the, you know, two and three of Pittsburgh sports, but in reality, it's always going to go Steelers, gonna be the Steelers, Pirates, Penguins. It's always going to be that way because Pittsburgh is a more blue-collar, traditional
sport. Right, and hockey is a more modern – it's not a modern sport, but it's
– And you're seeing – you know,
in terms of fan base, it's more modern.
Yes, it's younger. You have a younger, you know, group of people that are coming and watching that stuff. So, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the problem with baseball that I have, I think that the problem with baseball is looking and going, you know, hey, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way it always needs to be. I think there are changes you can make to the game and to the way the game's presented that don't attack the core values.
Yeah.
First things first, they don't market any of those players very well.
No, they don't.
And I know that they always go, well, Mike Trout's not interesting, and they blame Mike Trout. Find a way to make Mike Trout more interesting.
I'm sorry, but the city of Philadelphia loves Mike Trout.
Yes, but, you know, again, he's notoriously uninteresting in interviews, which, you know, as a team, that's a dream. He's not going to say anything dumb.
Stupid,
he's not
right.
Outrageous. But he from a marketing perspective, he's quiet. He doesn't really do anything, you know, outspoken or exciting.
You don't have any Antonio Browns or Le'Veon Bells.
But Antonio Brown's a marketable player, or right. At least he was until he started, you know, pushing his ex-girlfriend, wife, baby mama. I don't know what she is to him.
Which one?
Ex-baby mama, I think.
One of them?
One of them. There's like seven.
I know. But the one in Florida that he had the whole thing about.
In Hollywood.
Yeah. But they need to market those guys. You know, again, the fact that like the NBA, the NBA is the best run league. And I'm not saying that because I'm biased because I interned with them. I'm saying that because of the fact that LeBron James is the second most popular athlete in the world. When you're competing with the likes of Ronaldo and Messi for the world's most popular athlete, you're doing something right.
Right.
Because LeBron's a face. LeBron's exciting. LeBron's in the community. LeBron's personable. LeBron does all sorts of different exciting things. LeBron's an executive producer on documentary shows.
And you have a huge influx of players coming over from Europe.
Yes.
Where, and I mean, you have lower tier guys here going over there.
Yeah.
But you still have, you have a lot of people who might be interested in a player that was playing in like Croatia or something come to the NBA and now you have another whole fan base that is rooting for one player, but now they're all watching NBA games.
Yes. No. And so that's the thing, is the MLB needs to kind of change the way they've always done things in their traditional marketing structure. If we're going to talk business, they need to understand their new target audience. Who are they going to get that will watch baseball, that is interested, that is younger, and will retain their value? Because that's the thing is, again, every year, the average age of a baseball fan gets a year older. That's because they're not acquiring very many new young fans.
And the tough thing with that is because the entire community is aging together almost, you have a majority of your fan base likes it how it is. So it's tough because you want to keep the people that you have because they've been lifelong fans and they've been loyal and whatever through whatever else the MLB has gone through. But you also have to change. And I don't know. Who's the – I forget the name of the GM. Not the GM. The commissioner.
Rob Manfred. Well, so here's the thing. You got to understand with that stuff is that there's a sense of brand loyalty, which means that you can make certain changes and you're not going to lose as many fans.
Right.
Because they've been loyal to this brand for so long, but also because there's no other product similar to baseball that you can get into.
Right.
So that's where you have to understand that changes can be made.
What's your opinion on, like, I know in the minor leagues, if you go into extras, they start a man on second base.
After the 11th inning.
Oh, it's after the 11th inning?
After the 11th inning. So you have two innings to try and do it, and then they put a man on second to start.
Okay. See, I thought it was right away. That kind of makes more sense to me. I didn't like it if it was right away because I feel like it kind of gives – it's almost like the coin toss with football.
To me, it just kind of is like a shootout in hockey, which is like, all right, let's get it over with. And it may not be something people necessarily love, but in a 162-game season
– yeah. You can't have games going to the 22nd inning.
No, you can't. And you know what? Having a guy at second is the same concept as overtime in college football.
Where you start on the 20-yard line.
Well, and eventually you have to start going for the two-point conversion.
Right.
So I have no problem with that. I really like the pitch clock. I get where people are coming from where it's like it's a game to hold it, but you also have 20 seconds. It's not like they're going 10 seconds, 10 seconds, right. 10 seconds. 20 seconds is a long time.
Yeah.
And
you can still call time.
Yes.
So that would extend it.
And sometimes refs choose to just wave the clock based on what happened. Because I've run a pitch clock before, so I know how that works. But I don't know if any of you have ever watched Drew Pomeranz pitch. It's long, it's slow, and
yeah.
it's painful.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about
that. And he works counts, and he takes about a minute between pitches. And that's not fun to watch.
Mm-mm.
So doing little things like that, and again, that's not changing the whole integrity of the game.
Right, and you have football, which is one of the most watched sports in this country, and they have a clock, and nobody seems to complain about that.
Yep. So.
But it's you go back to the fundamentalist than I am, where people are like, no, you can't change anything. It's a perfect game. It's America's game, blah, 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 blah.
Here's my other problem. Mm-hmm. And I think this is – we talked about this with the AAF and the NFL about how the NFL is very reactionary. Someone gets hurt really bad and they change a rule. I still believe that you should be able to hit the catcher at home plate and that you should be able to slide towards someone at second base.
I agree.
Because you know what? It was a couple freak things that happened, and that's going to happen in sports.
Right.
You know what? Freak things are going to happen, but there's no excitement in baseball if the double play, you know, like you can't even like go and try and break
if there's
out
a
the
guy,
double play.
Right. If there's a guy that is like 5 feet in the air because he had to jump over a player sliding at him, throws it and still gets it, that's incredible, and it's fun to watch.
And then, you know, a play at the plate, you know, the catcher gets absolutely rocked and holds on to the baseball.
Right. Like the one time I can think of is the Phillies were playing the Reds, and this was back before kind of they fell apart. But
the memories.
Which team?
What?
Which team?
The Phillies.
The Phillies. The Reds. No, I don't follow the Reds at all. Reds. Chooch, there was a play in left field. Bombed from left to the plate. Chooch grabbed it, held on to it. It was awesome. There was another play, I think it was also against the Reds, with Cameron Rupp, where he just rocked him. Whoever was running home rocked him, and it ended the game because he was called out.
Jeez.
It was an amazing. I remember that one. That was a few years ago. But like, people love physicality.
Yeah, and with baseball, like that goes away when
you have like as few moments as you can, you want to hold on to those.
Yes, because so the excitement level of games can be measured by actions per minute, and in a lot of sports, the actions per minute are significantly higher than they are in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing is with baseball, when you're taking away actions per minute, you're hurting the excitement of the league. And I get player safety is an important thing, but at the same time, you know, people are going to get hurt. That's the nature of it. And
you could
baseball
get hurt
of all
doing
sports
anything.
Is not very physical.
No.
I mean, like, you know, you can't take away, because, like, taking away, like, the hit of the plate is, like, taking away, like, you know, blocking.
Yeah.
And I get it, because, like, the catcher may not see it coming, but, like, are you telling me when there's a play at the plate, the catcher's not thinking about the fact that someone's going to
in the way of somebody else's goal.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just, that's how it is, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, and what are they supposed to do now? Just, like, go around, try and go around them? Or.
Yeah.
That,
well, catchers can't block the plate now.
Oh, that's dumb.
Yeah.
So, you're just supposed to essentially let them score?
Stand
like,
in front of it, yeah.
And then catch it and dive in to hit them? See, I feel like that could almost cause more injuries as it is. Because now you have guys that are both in the air hitting each other instead of being grounded and kind of having some sort of stopping force.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of – I think baseball needs – you know, what they should have looked for with a new commissioner was someone who was going to sit down and go, all right, let's change everything we do and how we do it, and this is why. And they didn't do that.
When was he hired?
Not too long ago. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, he hasn't been the commissioner that long because it was Bud Selig forever. So.
Fire. I mean, I wouldn't. I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why we're not in charge yet. But.
I should be in charge.
I'm just honestly.
Me and Will are going to run a team one day. Just wait.
With all of these changes and controversies and all the blah, blah, blah of sports. I'm excited it's pitchers and catchers. It signals that there's warmth coming. We've made it through a significant part of winter.
I'm not even worried about the pitchers and catchers. I'm just excited for the warmth.
Yeah. I mean, like, and there's just something about it where, you know, and it's different from, I think it's different from the spring trainings of, or not even spring trainings, but like preseason stuff of different sports.
Yeah.
Because it's, for most teams, it's far away. The closest thing is like when the Steelers go to St. Vincent, but a lot of teams stay at their facilities now. Like the Eagles used to go to Lehigh, and now they just go to the NovaCare complex, which is next door to the Link.
Which is kind of disappointing because it's almost like different. It's exciting.
Right. And that's the whole, I think that's and part of the appeal with preseason spring trainings and all that stuff is you're somewhere you're not normally. And it kind of, it's almost like when we would come out for camp before school starts, you're only with your team. And everything you do is
it's almost that like sport. Almost like a bonding team building thing too.
Because during the season, you know, you go home and you have your family and you have the rest of life. But during spring training,
it's just you're there,
right? Like, did you hear? Real Muto drove through the night from Oklahoma City to Clearwater, like the day after it was announced he was traded, just so he could start getting ready for spring training.
Hey, man, that's what you want to see.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Gosh.
No. I just saw a cool little stat today. His son is playing for Juve's U9s.
Uh-huh.
And through 30 games, he has 58 goals and I think it was 18 assists.
Wow. Is it like his dad? Who's destroying the Italian soccer league?
Yeah.
For those of you that don't follow soccer... or Italian soccer, because who really follows Italian soccer? But Juventus have yet to lose a game.
Yeah.
And they're over halfway through their season.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
It's extremely frustrating because Juventus was already winning the league every year. And then they're just like, we're tired of losing.
They're talking about signing Mo Salah and like Marcelo from Real Madrid. And it's just, it's going to turn.
Mo Salah's on Liverpool.
Yeah. No.
Oh, the second guy's from, okay.
Yeah.
Who? Juventus?
Yeah.
Why? Why would that be necessary? Like,
they're gonna send Dybala the other way to Liverpool.
But what's the point? Is it because they lose in the Champions League every year?
Maybe. Well, we'll see this year because they got Ajax. They're two away goals against Ajax, one up on them, and PSG's rocking Manchester United, giving them a little reality check. Roma's doing good.
For Tottenham. Those of you that don't follow soccer, it would be like if the Patriots went
and signed like Todd Gurley, Antonio Brown, Khalil Mack, just all these superstars. Right.
And then you're like, okay, like right now, like they just won their sixth Super Bowl in less than 20 years. What's the point?
Yeah.
Like, if, especially, it would be like if you did that and Tom Brady was still like 25.
Yeah. And then they also went out and signed like Drew Brees and Andrew Luck, just building an all-star team.
Yeah, just because why not? It's really dumb. It doesn't make any sense. And I don't like it.
I'd like to find, and Sam, this is a question for you too. Is there like a sporting event or sporting series that you can kind of compare the Champions League to? Like, I'm trying to think of
in the United States?
Yeah, or just anywhere in general.
I guess kind of, would it kind of be like, no, not even, because World Cup of Baseball is national teams.
That's well, but even like that, I mean, you have a large group of all-stars competing for something.
Well, I'm trying to think, because the only way I think it could happen anywhere else would be if you see like the EuroLeague and the NBA get better.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you have NBA teams and EuroLeague going at it. But
I forget the name of it, but the Japanese Baseball League.
Yeah, Nippon Baseball
League. Yeah.
And same with the KBO, the Korean Baseball League.
Right, and Mexico and the Dominican and those. Yeah.
If you had a couple of those get really notable, you had, you know, because that'd be really cool. You have the champions of each league, you know, go and you play each other.
It is tough. I mean, even location-wise, because with Champions League, you have a lot of teams. I think they're mostly all from Europe, right? Like, you don't really see a team from China make it, right?
Yeah, I don't know if China has any. I mean, there's some. The qualifying, I was reading up on it. Europa League is where you're going to see more teams from out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like Europa League, I know, like Gibraltar has a bid or something. It's like the cup winners from each country.
Right. But so in that sense, I feel like the Champions League is only possible with soccer because of the locations of everything. Because you're not, you know, on an 18-hour flight for a one leg of a baseball game.
You might get a team from Russia or something like that.
But even then, it's Moscow, and it's relatively close. You're not flying to Siberia or anything. So in that sense, like, and especially with how big the, like, physically how big the United States is, so I think it does make it difficult because.
So could you compare it then to, like, a World Series or a Super Bowl even? Like, you have playoffs, and then you're just kind of in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think it's just the difference between American sports and European sports, because like while yes you have baseball and you have basketball in different countries and it's growing, you don't have like you have soccer in most places. In England you have soccer and rugby, but I mean just watching some documentaries on these different teams like. Your soccer club is your team.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like here where you usually you can have anywhere from one to, I mean, some cities have eight different teams you can choose to support per when it's happening. So it's just like, I can see where you're coming from, where it would be interesting to see it, but I don't think it's really feasible with just kind of the limitations of everything. Like, you don't have people as in, like, If you put something like, I don't even know what would go, but like in the middle of the summer or something, like I feel like not as many people would be excited by it.
The Champions League too is spread out all throughout the year.
That's true.
And granted, the games, I think soccer's unique season length provides for a unique sort of scenario for that.
Yeah, because you have to be in competition shape, was it 10 months out of the year, something like that, for your regular season anyway.
I think it would be interesting to start to let American teams in.
Yeah. Or, can they not do, are they not allowed in the Europa League even?
I don't think so. I don't recall anyone even qualifying, like, starting to qualify for it.
Yeah.
But I also want to say that UEFA is just like the UEFA, the boundaries are the, like UEFA is like a qualifying reign in like the World Cup. Like UEFA is UEFA.
Yeah. I mean, Sam, what do you think as somebody who doesn't really follow
soccer at all?
What are your thoughts? Like, would it be possible with any sport? Or, like, the way I'm seeing it is the length of season, the amount of other things you could be watching, and the location would make it too difficult for anything like that to happen here.
Yeah, and it's because it's the United States of America, and to do it, you'd have to go to Europe.
Right, or Asia.
Yeah.
And that's a minimum, you know, that's 7-8 hours one way. Yeah. Just to Europe, it's even longer to Asia.
The money would have to be there
mm-hmm.
because here's the thing: there are definitely players and teams that would do it if the money was there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could do it for a sport like football, but you got to consider back when basketball was trying to be relevant, they would go on summer tours across Europe and Asia to promote the sport of basketball, and I think that's like the big thing.
And they still kind of do that in the off season.
Yeah, they do like NBA China and shit like that. Ooh. I swore. It's fine.
We're not live.
We're gonna bleep it out. It's fine. But yeah. Wow, I've never done that before. Yeah. That's all right. It happens.
It's a first.
Yeah. So, effectively here, what was I saying? Oh yeah. Before I got myself thrown off. yeah. I think you could do it with like basketball. I think basketball is feasible because also like it's not totally worn down. You already kind of see it with FIBA in terms of like the Basketball World Cup. And I think it'd be interesting and I think it would do better than a World Cup of basketball, because you could have, you know, players from different countries playing together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have people that are fans of certain teams, fans of certain players. You have a bunch of different reasons. Because, like, that's why the Champions League is so great. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you have people that are Man U fans, but you have people that are, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo fans. You know, you have different reasons for people to be watching and caring right. and rooting rather than just, like, country.
Mm-hmm.
So, and for basketball, that's good because the U.S. dominates basketball. So when you yeah. have it more spread out, because you can even have guys that, you know, ended up going to Europe, ended up being a lot better than they thought in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You could have guys like Luka Doncic before he came to the NBA right. playing.
Dario Saric.
Yeah, like guys that are exciting and interesting. And, mm-hmm. you know, you never know. I mean, right now, I don't think it's there yet. But I think yeah. if you had a EuroLeague develop, you'd be fine.
Yeah, and I do think that probably would be the sport to do it. I still think it would be very, very difficult. Yeah, and it's just like, I feel like you'd have to really support your team for something like that.
Yeah.
Because it's going, you're not playing, you know, it's not Cavs Warriors. It's, you know, Sixers and insert random European team here. So you it expands your it would have to expand your knowledge of one sport out of the four to arguably five sports you can choose from.
Yeah.
So fun fact, there are 55 clubs or 55 countries in the UEFA Association. So mm-hmm. those are the only teams from those 55 countries can only be accepted into the UEFA Champions League, because UEFA is its own governing body.
Mm. Hmm.
All right.
Like, well, CONCACAF has its own Champions League, where it's just America's, like, North, Central, South
huh.
America's. Well, I guess not South, because South is in CONMEBOL. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, and it's very different when you have the worldwide sport compared to sports that are dominant in America. Which we do like to be different, so who knows. But
mm-hmm.
also, can you get, if Sam Anthony, if you can give me the top five world ranking men's national teams, I'll give you $5.
I'm going to tell you right
in
now.
In soccer?
I can't.
In soccer.
But I'm going to guess.
Okay.
Do I have to do them in order? Or do I just...
No, I think just do the five.
I think five.
All right. Brazil?
Yes.
Germany?
No.
No.
Germany's really fallen off since their World Cup win. Wow. But yeah, I'll give you a gimme.
Okay.
There's an obvious one.
Portugal?
Portugal's number six.
Dang it!
No, England.
England is number five.
Brazil, number five?
Brazil's number three.
I was going to say, England's not really a gimme.
I would think
no,
so.
No. A gimme as in, like, I'll give you one.
Yeah, no, well, Will was like, there's one really obvious one.
Yeah, because they have the Premier League. Oh, are you talking about national teams?
Yeah, national
teams.
Oh,
sorry. Yeah. I take that back then.
What else is there?
Can I join in?
Spain?
Yeah. I'll join you in the top 10. So Spain right. is in number nine.
Dang.
So wait, we have... No, we're doing top 10. So we have England at five, Brazil at three.
Portugal at six. Spain at nine.
What was it?
Spain at nine.
France?
France is two.
Oh, that makes sense.
Argentina?
Argentina is not in the top 10. They're
really?
Number 11.
Yeah.
Wow.
Number 10 sense. Is actually really surprising. I'll be surprised if you guys can guess it.
Ghana?
No.
No.
Is
it a European team?
Belgium.
It is a European team. Belgium is actually number one in the world rankings
yep.
right
wow.
now.
Wow.
I am very surprised because, well, they're only 1 point ahead of France, but I don't know. Maybe there was a Nations League, so they might have won that.
Yep.
Is Italy?
No.
Italy is not.
No.
Italy's really fallen off, too.
Yeah, they have. 10's not Ireland, is it?
10 is not Ireland.
Okay.
You're missing 4, 7.
Mexico?
Mexico's, I think, 13.
Ugh.
4, 7, 8, and 10.
So there's going to be one that you say, and I'm going to be like, dang it.
Yeah, there's one that you should think.
Saudi Arabia?
No.
Russia?
No.
Dang it. I'm just trying to think of teams that were in the World Cup.
Give me one more second. Give me another minute here to ponder and think this.
Think about the teams that were in the World Cup and were successful in the World Cup.
I know.
Serbia.
No.
What's the...
third place team. Who got third place?
My
motherland.
What?
A large part of my heritage is from this country.
All right, you just tell us.
Croatia.
Croatia. I knew it was one of those Eastern European team. Well, I couldn't remember. I knew it was an Eastern European team.
Number 7, Uruguay. Number 8, Switzerland. And number number 10, Denmark.
Huh.
Can you guess where the USA is ranked?
My guess is not in the top 25.
They are in the top 25.
Really? Are they 25?
They're 25. I don't know.
Let's go USA.
I'm liking how the USA, how they're the direction they're moving. I don't know if you guys got to watch their friendly games under Berhalter.
No.
But there's sort of an exuberance about them, kind of like how. Army football changed a little bit when Clark came around, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there's still a long way to go, but they're making positive strides. Yeah.
They're bringing in younger players.
Christian Pulisic. Pulisic?
Yeah.
I played with him in FIFA 18, and he's very fast.
Yeah, the United States, I mean,
he's from Jersey, I think, right?
No, he's from Philly.
Really?
Yeah. United States playing well against
I knew that.
France post-World Cup. They're doing really well. I like the direction they're going.
All right. Well, guys, we have to end it here because Sam Ferentz has to go buy flowers for his girlfriend.
I don't have to go buy flowers. I already bought them. I'm not some lame-o.
Oh, he's less of a lame-o because he bought them ahead of time.
Yes. I mean, they get expensive day of.
Oh, yeah.
So that's not lame-o. It's just dumb.
Yeah, I'm not dumb.
All right.
What about you, Sam?
My mom's coming.
Oh.
Sorry, Morgan.
No one tell Ray Butler.
Why? Why? All right.
What a great way to end.
I'm leaving. Thank you for watching.
Go Colonials. Love you, Mom.
This is Sam Anthony, Sam Elizabeth Ferentz.
Baseball's
Billy
back.
Bob Cavallari.
Go Stillers.
We're gonna listen to Renegade on the way out here. Let's go, baby.